You have all heard stories of my dog, Grizz, who is, as I like to say, not as spoiled as he'd like to be. He'd like to be more spoiled. I hold it back just a little bit. So it may not surprise you to learn that he has bed privileges. He gets to sleep on the bed. Yeah, I didn't think anyone here would be overly shocked by that. However, there are some limits to sleeping on the bed in my house. I have my spot on the bed, there's sort of my side of the bed, and then there's the rest of the bed where Grizz gets to sleep. And he has his preferences. He likes to sleep in my spot, but he accepts sleeping anywhere where he can be touching me. He's a little needy, but every now and then he makes it to bed before I do. Usually because I've left the door to the bedroom open. I keep it closed because then, because that way I don't heat the room all day. It's because I'm my father's daughter. But every now and then the door isn't quite latched and I go to bed and my dog is curled up in the middle of my spot and we have to have a conversation about that. It's not a long conversation, he moves, but those are the moments when I know that it's easier to sleep with my 100-pound dog than it used to be to sleep with my 10-pound cat. Because when you look at the dog and you say, move, my dog gets up and I get sort of a beleaguered look like, really? But he rearranges himself on the bed and goes back to sleep. Now when you sleep with a cat, that is not their reaction. When you make them move, or really, even if you don't make them move, you rearrange yourself on the bed around them in a way they don't like, they sort of pick themselves up and they look at you like, you dared do what to me? And then they stalk out of the room. Or at least that was my cat. I know there are other cats out there that behave differently, but that was my cat. It is tempting to draw some conclusions from this that are false. Like, my dog and I have a more perfect form of love than my cat and I did. And that's false, and I know that. My cat loved me very much. But my dog, you know, curls himself back up, and then his head is usually across my feet or my ankles, and we go to sleep, and he's still there when I wake up in the morning. The reason I know those conclusions about love are false are, in the morning, my cat would be back on my bed. She'd sort of sneak in the night after I'd stop moving around and insulting her and, you know, reclaim the bed. But love doesn't really work like that. Paul sets out this beautiful passage in Corinthians. I think of it as the wedding passage because that's where we usually hear it. And that's a little too bad because there's some really good stuff in there, and we only hear it when everyone's really happy, and hopefully, you know, there was no drinking before the wedding, so everyone's still sober enough to remember it. Because there's some really good stuff in there. Love isn't proud. It doesn't envy. Love is kind and patient. But we hear all of this through those sort of pink, rose-colored glasses everyone puts on in the wedding. When you forget that the couple broke up 2 months after they started dating because someone said something stupid and they had to work through that, and you forget that 6 months after they get married, they're gonna have a huge fight and someone is gonna wind up at their parents' house overnight and they're gonna have to work through that too. We hear it at weddings where we forget that relationships are tough. And we hear it out of the context of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13 comes after 1 Corinthians 12, which we also hear too much, but we don't hear them together. 1 Corinthians 12 is that passage where Paul is talking about how we're all many members of one body, and the eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Remember that one, and we have to learn to put up with each other, even though we don't always like each other. We're all kind of different and, you know, sometimes annoying. It's true. And then he keeps talking. And if you just sit down, you know, go home, take out your Bibles and just read from the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12 to the end of 1 Corinthians 13. Remember that we created those divisions. Paul didn't write them as two separate chapters. He was just writing a letter. It works really well together. They're supposed to be read together. He's writing about love after he's writing about the fact that you have to put up with all those other different people around you. You have to remember to love all those different people around you, even when they aren't like you. And this is where it gets even trickier. Even when how they love doesn't look like how you love. When how they love looks like my cat, who sort of stalks out of the room when they get a little insulted, you have to love them once they stalk out of the room and need a few minutes to a few hours to calm down and come back so you can work on the issue. You have to do the work, you have to work on the issue. Or when how they love looks like my dog, who sort of gets up and looks at you like, really, this again? But stays there, and you know, you sort of work out that compromise in the moment. Or all of those many, many other ways that love can look like. Because in a world where we can all look so different, where we can be the hands and the feet, and then all of those other body parts, the livers and the eyes and the noses and the elbows of the body, love doesn't look one way. Love looks a lot of different ways. But the marks of love, the marks of Christian love, look the same. Patience, kindness, hope, endurance. And at the end of all of those things that relationships go through, love is still there. Love is still there. And that is what is really important, after all, isn't it? Amen.